Numbers chapter number 12 this evening. Numbers chapter 12. We continue on. I have enjoyed greatly and have heard from some of you that you have enjoyed our study on Sunday nights of the life of Moses. And we continue on. It surprised me when I got started with this study. I didn't know we'd be this long in it. But it's incredibly rich and we've just had a good time. And don't let tonight be any different. Tonight will be a little bit different and some of the things that we have tackled, but it's God's Word, so we're not going to shy away from it, and this is the next thing. We did Numbers 11 this last week. Why not preach Numbers 12 this week? Amen? All right. We'll see if you're still shaking your heads in a little while. Numbers chapter number 12, and we're going to read this chapter together this evening. And Miriam, and notice Miriam's name first there. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. Speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked on Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now. O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. This evening I want to preach to you on this subject, trouble at home. Trouble at home. There is no kind of heartache like the heartache that comes when the ones who are the closest to you forsake you. And this is exactly what happens here in our narrative. We approach this evening and we find that Miriam and Aaron in verse number 1 spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman that she had married. I do not know, and we do not know all the details surrounding this. There's a great deal of debate among theologians as to exactly what this is. I'll get into that more in just a moment. But I want you to picture in your mind where we are. I want you to see the children of Israel as they are settled in the wilderness now. They are, and we will see soon, they will soon send spies over to the land of Canaan to find it out. But they have traveled now from Mount Sinai a few days' journey and have settled in at a different place. And now as they're there, you remember the children of Israel did some complaining in chapter 11 and God sent them quail till they were sick of it and it made some of them sick. Some of them died. And Joshua, the God blessed, and Moses appointed 70 men. He brought 70 men out to help him in the work. And Joshua came when some of them were prophesying outside of the camp, and Moses told Joshua, Joshua said, forbid them, don't let them do it. And Moses told Joshua, I wish all the Lord's people would prophesy, everybody would get involved in this. And so here they are, the children of Israel. Now there's trouble at home. He's had all kinds of trouble, has he not, from the children of Israel? They've had them complaining and them grumbling and their discontent and unhappy in every circumstance they've come against. But now something new is facing Moses. Something that I believe probably grieves him as much, if not more, than anything else that he has faced. And it is opposition from those within his own family.
Amen.
His own family turned on him. Miriam. It's important that you note this in verse 1. It doesn't say Aaron and Miriam. It says Miriam and Aaron.
Amen.
And that may not seem like a major thing, but in Bible language and in that time and in that society, it was never that a woman would, her name would precede that of a man. Except in this case, I believe there's a reason why it is. Miriam, in this case, takes the lead. And I think if you study the life of Aaron, you're going to find out Aaron's just a little bit wishy-washy. He's just somebody, they come to him and he's Moses' right-hand man. Then Moses up in the mountain, children come to him and say, "Hey, how about make us a golden calf to worship?" He says, "Well, okay." And then now here he is, he's come tagging along with his sister, with Miriam, as she's going to oppose Moses, and there he is standing right behind her. I see Aaron is a little bit wishy-washy.
Amen.
And in this, and Miriam and Aaron spake, and they, whatever it's worth to you, that word spake is in the feminine sense, or feminine tense, which is pretty rare in our Bibles. So we find that Miriam's taking the lead here. Can you imagine this? Miriam. Isn't this the same girl who, when Moses had been set in an ark of bulrushes, said to Mama, "I'm going to run out there and keep an eye on him and make sure everything's okay"?
Amen.
Isn't this the same Miriam who, when the children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea, she stood up and sang the song of Moses? In fact, God's Word called her a prophetess as she got up and sang glory and honor to the name of our Lord. Now, where is Miriam? She's bad-mouthing her brother in the camp. Standing against, that's trouble. You imagine how Moses must have felt. You ever thought about how he felt? It was one thing when it was everybody else. But now there's trouble at home, trouble within his own family. Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman that he'd married. And I'm just going to mention this, and I'm not going to spend much time on it, because I'm going to go ahead and give you one of those I don't knows, because I don't know. There is a lot of debate that floats around in the circles as to whether or not this is Zipporah, or whether or not here in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, is speaking of another woman altogether. And the answer is, I don't know. And neither do you. There have been men and women, there have been people who have debated this for years and years. Some of the greatest theologians, I read one that I respect, and he said it was Zipporah. I read another one that I respect, said it was somebody else altogether. There's some speculation. Now, I'll just put this out here for you, and this is food for thought. There's some speculation as to whether or not when Jethro took off and went home, you remember him doing that earlier, and Jethro took off and went home, whether or not Zipporah went with him and just abandoned Moses and said, "Look, I've had enough of y'all in this wilderness." And there's some that say that she just deserted him and left. I don't know. Some speculate that Zipporah passed away and Moses married another woman. I don't know. And there's some that'll say, and perhaps I probably would lean this way, that this is the same woman that he married. It's just they're throwing some ugly language at her. That old Ethiopian woman. That's some mean language, a slur that they're throwing at her. But whatever it is, all we know is this, is that is what it appears. You see in verse 1, they are upset whether or not this woman who was Moses' wife, whether it was Zipporah or another woman, whether she had the ear of Moses and Miriam didn't like it, whether Miriam and this woman had had words, we don't know. All we see in verse number 1 is they're upset about something, but what you find out in verse number 2 is what they're really upset about. You ever seen in life where somebody gets all bent out of shape about something, and they throw a fit about something, and they're really upset about something else altogether? That's exactly what takes place here in Numbers chapter 12. It appears, and that is the first assault, that they're all bent out of shape because of this woman that he's married, but that's really not their problem at all. That's really not Miriam's problem. Miriam's real problem is the fact that she's not running the show.
Right.
That's her real problem. It says now in verse 2, and they say, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" There is jealousy within the heart of Miriam. This woman, it's hard to imagine, but it's true. This woman who had supported him and loved him as a brother and had been there with him in his time of need. Now this woman is standing against Moses. And though there was an attack because of his wife, here's what it really is. The problem really is she wants to be in charge.
Amen.
And I'm sorry if that sounds rough, but that's exactly what it is. Follow it out. God's not that God didn't use Miriam. God had used her. God had blessed her. Her problem wasn't, though, that had God spoken by Moses only? He's not the only one that God can use. He's not the only one that God can bless. God can use me. And that's just exactly what she's saying in this narrative. He could use me just as much as he could use Moses. There's nothing special about this man, Moses. And I have to stop and think how this affected this man. I see in the narrative that as we read this, I don't know where Miriam and Aaron are when they say this. If you read what is implied in the language is that they're bad-mouthing Moses behind his back.
Amen.
They're trash-talking him, not in front of him, but behind his back. And the Lord speaks and says, I want the three of y'all to get together at the door of the tabernacle.
Amen.
And so God, I believe, called them out of that cloudy pillar that was over the Ark of the Covenant, that was over the tabernacle. God spoke, said, I want the three of you. And I like Bible language. Verse number 3, and the Lord spake suddenly. You notice when the Lord, it's not just that the Lord spake, but the Lord spake suddenly. God heard it. You see what it says there at the verse number 2 at the end of it? And the Lord heard it. Bad mouthing God's man. Trash talking the servant of God, and the Lord heard it. Running Moses down, proverbially throwing him under the bus, and the Lord heard it. They take and they talk evil of him, and we find out that they of his own family are now turning tail on him. And I said this, and I said it from the very beginning, and I mean this. There's no heartache like the heartache that comes when the people that are the closest to you forsake you and turn from you.
Amen.
I've got to mention this, and I've got to do it in a hurry, but how do you think our Lord felt when the closest to Him forsook Him? Jesus Himself said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house.
Right.
And then you read John chapter 7, verse 5. You're thinking about these chilling words. John 7, verse 5, it says, for neither did his brethren believe in Him. That's trouble at home. That's trouble at home. Miriam stands against God's man. She's full of jealousy, envy, evil speaking, folly, rebellion. She sought to undermine the authority that God had given to Moses and his right to lead. She would have pushed Moses out of the way and taken up the banner and led the charge in front of the children of Israel. Had God called her to do this? Had the Holy Spirit of God impressed her in this way? No. Something within Miriam's heart worked up within her and said, as God spoke by Moses alone, why not? Why not me? Is anything other than pride and the desire for self-advancement that pushed Miriam in this selfish way? She rebelled against her brother. But the truth about it is that this rebellion goes more than against Moses. It is a rebellion against God.
Amen.
And a rebellion against the authority that God had ordained. Now listen, if Moses was guilty of ineptitude, that would be one thing. Do you understand it? If Moses had messed up, if he had made a big mistake, And Miriam came to him and said, brother, you may not realize this, but that would be one thing altogether, but that's not what takes place. Moses is faithfully fulfilling the office that God has called him to do, and there comes baby sister, older sister, really. There comes older sister saying, you're not so special after all, Moses. Who makes you? What makes you think you can lead or rule over us? Why should you be the one running the show? She wasn't content to be by Moses' side. She wanted to be in front of him.
Amen.
By not merely claiming equality, but claiming superiority. Has God spoken by Moses alone? And it says, and the Lord heard it. And the Lord heard it. Sometimes it's easy for you and I to get jealous when we see God blessing and using somebody else. Have you ever, and can I ask you to be pretty honest with yourself this evening, have you ever gotten jealous when you saw God bless somebody else, maybe a little bit more than you think He's blessing you? God using somebody else a little bit more than He's using you? I look, and I may be a little bit too honest, but sometimes when I see what other pastors drive and the nice suits that they wear, maybe I get a little bit jealous of them. When I see their success and I see God blessing and using them, if you're not careful, it's easy to become jealous of them. But that's not our duty. It's not our right at all. Rather than being jealous of them, we should rejoice with them.
Amen.
Be thankful that God is blessing them and using them. And just pray and say, Lord, I'd like to have a little bit of what they've got.
Amen.
Don't be like Miriam in this. And allow self-pride and self-adoration to cause you to stand up and say, I am as good or better than another. I want to read something to you, and it says this. The true cause of Miriam and Aaron's murmuring was pride, ambition, self-love, ostentation, and vainglory. Hereby we learn. Notice this. Hereby we learn that there comes no greater plague in today's churches than by ambition and desire of preeminence. Miriam's sin did not die with Miriam. Here's where we're going to start having fun tonight. Miriam and Aaron's sin did not die with them. It is alive and well yet today with men and women who would push aside the servant of God and say, has God spoken by him alone? They would take the Moses, the servant of God today, and they would thrust him down and say, you have no right to lead, and try to push and overthrow their own will over him. Nothing, I quote to you, nothing has more ruined the churches of God, overthrown piety, corrupted religion, hindered the gospel, and discouraged pastors more than those who would erect their own kingdom. And those who call themselves or would present themselves as petty popes who are the true successors of Diotrephes. We'll get around, Lord willing, eventually over to 3 John. And 3 John talks about a man named Diotrephes who just loved to have the preeminence. And in this case, we find Miriam's sin handed down to a man named Diotrephes who wanted to run the show. Moses did not call himself to this office. Amen? Did Moses call himself to this office? Or did God call him to this office?
Amen.
Will you not remember Moses said, I don't want anything to do with this. And gave God excuse after excuse of why he wasn't fit, wasn't worthy, and didn't want the job. But God said, it's yours.
Amen.
Moses didn't take this office to himself, and his own sister should have known that. His own brother should have known that. They should have known enough about the man. What does it say about Moses in verse 3? He was the most meek man on the face of the earth.
Amen.
They should have thought a little bit more about the man of God than to go jump up in his face and say, who are you, buddy?
Amen.
Should have thought a little bit more about him than try to push him out of the leadership role that God had given him. No God-honoring man would dare take this office to himself. Rather than standing against him, Miriam and Aaron should have supported him. Now you see it coming, don't you? Because I feel it's starting to get real quiet in here. That's all right. You want me not to preach the word? You want me to preach it tonight?
Preach it, brother.
The old preachers used to say, beware the one that picks you up at the bus station. Huh? All right, go have fun tonight. Why is Moses the center of attention? Does God speak to him any more than he speaks to me? This is the questions of Miriam. I think this is true. Here it is. We have all been witness to this, not only in the life of Miriam, but in the lives of churches today. Men and women like Miriam and Moses, like men and women like Miriam and Aaron, who would push Moses from the role, the man of God from the role, and say, "Who do you think you are?"
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. It didn't work out too good for Miriam. It don't work out too good today for people. I've witnessed this, and anybody that's been around churches any length of time have witnessed this, when church members act and think just like Miriam and Aaron. Stand around bad-mouthing the man of God. I've seen people stand against God's man, claiming, "Who does he think he is? I have just as much of an opinion as he does. Who does he think he is to try and force his opinion and his role upon us?" And I'll give you this, and you know it, but I'll share it with you again. If you think I'm here because this is what I wanted in life, you're out of your mind. I'm like Moses. I didn't want anything to do with this, but this is what God called me to do. And I have no choice but to do anything else.
Amen.
And it is indeed a fact that I make mistakes. I have made and will continue to make mistakes. And if I mess up, I don't mind anybody coming to me and saying in the right way, "Brother Lewis, you may not realize this, but as long as I'm following God, you better have a good reason not to follow me."
Amen.
What happens when people stand against God's man? Ask Miriam what happens. You say, "Well, it don't happen anymore today." No, that exact thing may not happen, but I still believe we serve the same God who still does a lot of the same things.
Amen.
I've seen people, I'll be careful, I don't want to get up in the flesh tonight. But some people ought to keep their mouth shut sometimes. And I just say it like that.
Amen.
Because here's the end of it. The Lord heard it. Verse number 2, and the Lord heard it. Now, if I mess up, I'm not above reproach, and I'm going to make some mistakes. You see, the problem is not that Miriam and Aaron came to him and said, "Now, Brother Moses," the problem was they were trash talking the man of God behind his back, and God heard it. Is that true tonight?
Amen.
I tell you this much, the Lord will hear it. Their issue is that they didn't like the authority that God had set up. You and I need to learn a little something. God's ordained headship.
Amen.
The powers that be are ordained of God.
Amen.
Romans 13, verse 1. God has ordained headship, leadership, roles. And I'm not Moses, and I know I'm not Moses, but God called me to this office. He led me to where I am. And as long as I'm here and I'm trying to do what's right, I don't need Miriam and Aaron.
Amen.
Not in this case. I need some Joshuas.
Amen.
Because what happens a lot of times is the Miriams of... Here we go. You ready for this? The Miriams go out and get the Aarons who are a little bit wishy-washy and get them curl-tailed up behind them. Yeah. Y'all come with me. Come on. Come with me. Yeah. The Miriams get out there, the strong-willed, loud mouths that say, "I'm going to have my way," and that's it. They go out and get all the Aarons who are a little bit flippy-floppy and line them up behind them. Whether or not you like this or not, it's the book, so I'm going to preach. So you may not come back, but that's all right. Whether or not some people like this doesn't change the fact. Not everybody can be Moses. Not everybody can be the leader. And in my mind, in the New Testament economy, God has ordained pastors and elders within His churches, and they're to be the leaders.
Amen.
And as long as they follow God, God's people ought to follow them. Not everybody can be in a leadership role. God hasn't called you to do that. Don't try to do it.
Amen.
Listen to this language as I give you some Bible language. Miriam usurped the authority of Moses.
Amen.
Don't try to usurp the authority of God's man. You can get mad if you want to. But I have seen this, and I think it is one of the most prevalent problems in churches today. It is men or women who want to be the boss.
Amen.
They want to be like Miriam, and they want to run the show. They want to be like Aaron. I don't want to cause any trouble, but I'll jump back in behind whoever is. Man of God, I tell you, it's a good thing Moses was the man he was. Isn't it amazing? Even with all that, Moses still prays for. I don't give it too far ahead, but isn't that something?
Amen.
There are too many men and women like Diotrephes, like Miriam, who want to have the preeminence. Things aren't going their way. So they worked behind the scenes in their dirty little corners, getting all the little errands behind them to try and usurp the authority that God has ordained within His churches. No man needs absolute power. But I am telling you, I've seen some people say things that just shock you.
Amen.
My father was standing behind a pulpit leading the church. And you know a man stood up in that church and said to him, "You shut up, boy." Yes, sir. Is that any way to talk to God's man?
No, brother. Amen.
I've been told that as a pastor, it wasn't not here. Because I'm not as nice as I used to be. I wouldn't put up with this now. But I've been told it wasn't my job to try to lead the church. It's just my job to show up and preach, and they'd make all the decisions. Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you something. You and I are not going to get along if that's what you think. Because as long as I'm here, I'm going to try to lead. Yeah. Don't be Miriam. Don't be Aaron. You know what bothered me? I was just a kid when that happened at church. You know what bothered me? Nobody else stood up and said, "Don't you talk to my pastor that way."
Amen, brother.
I ain't going to hear you talk to him. You ain't going to trash talk him in front of me.
Amen.
It's a good thing Moses was the man he was. Otherwise, he might have called down a little thunder from heaven on Miriam's head.
Amen, brother.
I've heard my father pray, "Lord, forgive them. Lay not this sin to their charge." That's what Moses prayed. I've heard my father pray that. Now listen, let me just say this. I don't want any blind allegiance. I don't want it. But if I'm trying to lead, you better have a good reason why you're not behind me.
Amen, brother.
If I'm going against the book, you stand against me.
Amen.
But if I'm following the book, get in line and let's go. Amen. We're headed to the promised land. Let's go. Moses didn't have any real trouble with pride, but it obviously his sister and his brother did. I'm inclined to think old Joshua, and just whatever this word, verse number 3, that little parenthetical phrase that is thrown in there in the parenthesis here, now the man Moses. I'm sort of inclined to think old Joshua threw that in after the death of Moses, telling us about just what kind of man that Moses was. Now let me get on here so we can get done tonight because, you know, y'all, everybody's having fun. God calls and He says, "Suddenly, I want you three to get over here by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." So there stands Moses, there stands Miriam, there stands Aaron, and they're all gathered together there. And God speaks, and I don't know that the Lord Himself pre-incarnate didn't appear, but at the very least, out of that cloudy pillar, the Lord spoke. And I'm interested, it says, verse 5, "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud." It says that the Lord came down and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and He called Aaron and Miriam, and they came forth, and He said, now God's speaking to Miriam and Aaron here, "Hear now my words." Now I'm going to put this in today's language, what He says to what the Lord says to them, what God says to them in verse number 6 is, if somebody's going to be called to the role of leadership, I'll do the calling.
Amen, brother.
You hear that? If somebody's going to be called to be a prophet, I'll be the one that does it. And it's not as big a problem as it has been in years past. But there's been a lot of mama called preachers and daddy called preachers, and a lot of them didn't have any place in the pulpit.
Amen.
It's not as big a problem as it has been. But I'm going to tell you something. I still believe God calls men today.
Amen.
To the work of the ministry. It is God that calls them. If there be a prophet, just look what He says. If there's going to be a prophet, I will make myself known to him.
Amen.
Now, I don't know, Miriam, who you think you are to go trying to run up here and jump in Moses' face. But you're going to place there.
Amen.
Verse 7, "My servant Moses is not..." What He says here is, Moses is unique. You say, "I don't have what Moses had." None of us do today. He said, Moses... here's what He says. "If I'm going to call somebody in ministry, I'll call. And I'll speak to them. I'll talk to them in dreams. In today's language, we say I burden their heart. I would make it clear to them through the work of the Spirit. But with Moses, I'm going to talk to him as a man face to face, as a friend." Something unique about Moses. That's what He says right here. And I want this question to sear in your ears tonight. Close of verse number 8. The Lord asked Miriam this question, speaking to Aaron as well, "Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Why wasn't you afraid to do that? Why didn't you have enough reverence for the man of God that you wouldn't do that? You may not be able to respect me, because I believe respect is earned, and I try to earn it, but you can respect the office even if you can't respect the man.
Amen.
Some people need to ask this question. Why wasn't you afraid to trash talk God's man? It's impossible to preach this without it sounding self-aggrandizing, but as much as I can, I don't want to do that. This is not about me. It's about the ministry and it's about the work. It's not about me trying to lift myself up, because I'm going to tell you this, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and that's all I am. But God put me here as the leader and the pastor of this church.
Amen.
And as long as I'm here in that role, you better be mindful. Why were you not afraid to lift up your voice against God's man?
Amen.
And I don't believe that's just true of me. I believe we ought to have a reverence for all God called men.
Amen,
all of them. You know, I know not everybody says they've been called, But I believe in treating God's men with some respect.
Amen.
And not trash talking them and gossiping about them. Not going home and having a preacher for Sunday lunch saying, "I can't believe he said this or did that." But rather standing up for God's man. Don't be wishy-washy like Aaron, but have some conviction and some backbone and say, "You're not going to talk about my preacher that way."
Amen, bro.
God suddenly shows up and he smites Miriam with leprosy.
Amen,
bro. Boy, here it is. It might be a good thing that not everybody trash talks God's man. Get smitten with leprosy. Might be a whole lot more white folk around here. You understand what I say when I mean that? I mean really white. God heard it. And the Lord dealt with her immediately. Now, I'm not interested in elevating myself to a position that I don't belong. But there was a bunch of kids one time went bad-mouthing God's man, and God sent a she-bear.
That's right.
You know what happened to you? Eat them up. Eat them kids up.
40.
Go ahead, old bald head. Just mocking God's man. Yeah. Be mindful. Why were you not afraid? Why were you not afraid to trash talk and speak ill and gossip about God's man? The anger of the Lord was kindled against Miriam. Look what it says there in verse 9. The anger of the Lord was kindled, and God smote her with leprosy. I'm telling you something. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. You and I don't have any appreciation of what leprosy is. We're so far removed from it, we don't have any appreciation of it. You would have to actually be a witness to it to fully appreciate what leprosy can do to somebody. I don't think it's desire that, you know, it's not my desire. You stand against me if you want to. I still don't want God to smite you with leprosy. I just want you to do right. Just do right. She's smitten with leprosy. And here's what I find very interesting. Not only that, it happens in front of the person she was mad-mouthing. Isn't it interesting that it wasn't Aaron that was smitten with leprosy? You see why I'm convinced that Miriam was in the lead on this thing? It wasn't Aaron that was smitten, it was Miriam. And that leprosy, as she continued that way, would have eat her flesh away until she died.
Amen.
Slowly, painfully, and very, very gruesome. Very, very gruesome. But something happened. Moses prayed for her. The very one that she had sinned against prayed for.
Amen.
We can only imagine the fear that fell upon Aaron when he got a good look at her. Whatever it's worth, I think I've seen some people putting an early grave because they weren't afraid to trash talk God's men.
Amen, brother.
One can only imagine the gossip that spread through the camp of Israel during the 7-day period that Miriam is shut out, here's what happened. Now, the problem is, old Cora didn't take it to heart. We'll get over there eventually. I hope you know what I'm talking about. Cora didn't listen. He should have. She's not allowed back in the camp. 7 days. Can I say something to you? Her sin kept the children of Israel from moving forward.
Amen.
You with me on that? Her sin kept them from moving forward. Are you going to be the one who keeps God's people from moving forward? By usurping the authority? By gossiping and griping about God's man? The Lord speaks to Moses as he would. Aaron runs over to Moses and, do something. Moses begins to pray for her, and the Lord said, you know, if her father had spit in her face, she'd been ashamed and shut out 7 days. She's going to spend some time. This sin has got some kind of payday for it.
Amen.
She's going to have a few days to think on this thing. You know what's really interesting? Miriam, who was such an integral part of Moses' life, is going to disappear off the inspired page. All the way up to Numbers 20. You know what God's Word says about her there? And Miriam died.
That's right, brother.
That's it. What about Miriam the prophetess? That's not talked about anymore. What about Miriam who would run to the aid of her brother? That's not spoken of anymore. Miriam falls off the inspired page until we find her being buried in Numbers chapter 20. I think a lot of that has to do with what happened right here in this case. But then as we dismiss, poor Miriam, you feel sorry for her? She brought it on, didn't she? But we love her anyway. I'd help her. You need them all. Anyway, Miriam covered up with leprosy. Soon to be dead, soon to be cast out, soon to be left alone, having no hope. But Moses prayed. Moses, verse 13, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee.
Amen.
Might I introduce you tonight to the meekest man that ever lived on the earth? Now, Moses was it during his time. But can I tell you about a meek and lowly man by the name of Jesus, who his own family forsook him, rejected him, denied him. Those that were the closest to him said, I don't know the man. We must be try to imagine the heartache that our Lord felt when he had such trouble by those that were the closest to him. But the ones, and that is you and I, who have lifted up our voices and sang unto our God, will not have this man to rule over us, is the same meek man that prays for us right now, and we find forgiveness and healing through him. What a glorious type we have again in Moses, showing us the love, mercy, and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very one that Miriam trash-talked and bad-mouthed was the only one that could intercede in her behalf.
Amen.
And those that have blasphemed the name of God, those that have ridiculed him, those that stood by that day when he was crucified saying, away with him, away with him, little do they realize that he's the only one that can intercede in their behalf.
Amen.
All hope would be lost if it were not for the intercession of our Christ.
Amen.
So you and I have been afflicted with the sin. And it's just like leprosy. It'll destroy you. It'll kill you. It's gruesome. It's ugly. But because of the intercession of our Savior, we can be made whole again.